time for the Observation Deck with Gordo, brought to us by Tylock George Eye Care and Generator Supercenter.
Thanks, Craig. We are obsessed with crime as a culture, and I can't say that it's men. I mean, men are more obsessed with doing crime. Women have probably a bigger obsession with watching true crime stuff. They're the primary consumers of true crime podcasts and things like that. But fascinated by crime, and I have two crime stories that I want to share with you. There's an interesting one going on over in France right now. There's a trial, and it's for a double homicide. So double murder.
Okay.
And the genetic evidence matches two different guys, but they don't know which guy did it because they're identical twins.
Hmm.
Oh, boy.
So the genetic evidence that was discovered on the murder weapon that was used to slay these two young guys in a, I think, one of those, you know, housing projects that are pretty rough places in France. You ever seen anything on those? That's creepy. Just those high rises like outside of Paris that is just a haven for crime and sounds like a really depressing place. But anyway, these couple guys were killed back in 2020. And it was related to organized gang activity, but the suspects are identical twins who have turned to a life of crime, and they use their identical twinness all the time, the cops say, in getting away with and exploiting it for their own criminal benefit. They'll change clothes, they'll use each other's names and IDs at different times, they switch phones at different times, so they exploit that to keep the shell game from the cops. And it's interesting because it seems like it's the perfect way to lead a life of crime if you're an identical twin.
Yes,
you just have make sure one of them is always seen out in public while the other one does the crime, and then you can say, I didn't do it. You I don't investigate my brother. And then he points to the other one, and then you go, well, we know one of you did it. And you just go, yeah, but that's not a provable thing, so you can't prove which one.
There's a built-in shadow of a doubt.
Yes.
It's
yes.
Genius.
There was one odd detail on this in this story. It said that DNA from the murder weapon matched one of the guys, showing that one of the guys did it. Why can't it be both of them? If they have identical DNA, they both could have handled that murder weapon. How do you know there's not, that both of them have not touched it?
Right, right.
You don't know that.
We're in a safe space, right?
Oh, my God, what?
I have a dumb question.
Okay.
What about fingerprints? They have the same fingerprint?
I don't know the answer to that. I believe that they would. I would lean towards that they would.
I thought everybody was different, even twins.
Well, yes.
No, good question.
Well, no, I don't know about twins.
According to AI, no identical twins do not have the same fingerprints.
Okay.
They share nearly identical DNA, but their fingerprints differ because they are formed in the womb based on environmental factors, such as umbilical cord length, fetal position, and blood pressure.
Okay.
Okay.
So there's the answer to that. Yeah, that... Now, I don't know how different the fingerprints are.
There'd be so much alike, maybe, that...
I mean, because their environment is pretty close to identical. But yes, they could be in different positions at different times, and that gives them extra fingerprints.
Sounds like these guys have thought it through, though, so they're probably wearing gloves.
Right, right. But it's not a bad question, George.
Okay. Yeah, we didn't know.
I thought it was a really good question.
No.
It might be the question of the day.
All right.
The identical twin murder mystery. And this story from the world of crime. A new study that was done in Denmark said that there is such a thing as the Breaking Bad effect. If you get a cancer diagnosis, and they studied a lot of people, I think there was over 300,000. Let me see if I can find the amount of people that they did in this study. I think it was like 340-some-odd thousand people studied over 15 to 20 years. And they found that there is a correlation between getting a bad diagnosis and starting to commit crime.
Huh.
Yeah, Mr. White.
368,000 individuals. And, oh, the study was 38 years long. So that's pretty good. That's a lot of data that they studied. So if you get a cancer diagnosis, it increases the probability of committing a crime by about 14%. So it's not a slam dunk.
Yeah.
But that is significant.
Yeah. I could see that. But it shows that most people think, okay, I'm going to try to do all, I don't know if it's necessarily good work, but it's going to be something that's satisfying to them more than just, hey, I'm going to cash in now and F it, whatever,
Mark.
You know?
Yes. Well, in the year immediately following a diagnosis, crime rates actually dip among cancer patients, as you can imagine, because that's when your chemotherapy and radiation and your completely exhausted. But if they get beyond that, that's when the it's fun to do bad things starts kicking in. And there's the economic motive, which is what Walter White in Breaking Bad claimed to have had,
right?
At first, that's what he fooled himself with. And because it costs a lot to battle cancer, so. But they studied this and they found that money does not explain this. Because if it did, they expected to see a spike in economic crimes like theft and fraud, you know, and that's what all the spike in crime was about, was theft and fraud. But no, the data showed a 38% relative increase in non-economic crimes, and including violent offenses, compared with the 14% rise in economic crimes. So 38% relative increase in bad things.
Wow.
Yeah. And part of this is explained, obviously, by, well, you're going to die, and they found there was a correlation between the severity of the diagnosis and whether or not someone would do something too. So you're not going to be around to serve. You're removing punishment from right. the equation, basically.
Right.
And so what is the human default to? I'm always fascinated with that question of what is the nature of a human? Are we naturally good or naturally bad? Or is it kind of that we're just merely products of our environment?
I think it's probably the latter. My guess is we are basically good, but prone to do bad things. We are good people, but we can't help occasionally doing bad things.
I think we're basically selfish mammals that do good because of we're social creatures. So I don't know how you score that we're basically not so great, but we do good things because we know that that's important to do, and we get encultured and taught that we're supposed to do good things, and so that leads us to want to do good things.
We have no inherent desire to do good things?
Yeah, I think that's basically what I think. I don't, of course, don't know that, but I think that we're, if given lack of any oversight, whether that be from a government, from laws, from a sense of there being a God, whatever it is that is supposed to keep you on the straight and narrow, would you stay on the straight and narrow? If you were starving and there was food over there, would you go and eat that food, or would you say, you know what, that doesn't belong to me, and I am a good person, and I don't believe in stealing. It's just something that, thing about me.
Yeah.
I think that's
a different kind of example, I think.
I think
but
that's
what is the example? That when you have a need, right? Mm-hmm. When it comes down to it, what are you going to do? And when it comes down to it, you're a creature. You're a mammal who just wants to survive and do what it wants to do.
Right.
Yeah, that gets into the whole survival aspect of it. So I don't know that I love that hypothetical out of you just now.
But what is the cancer thing? That's the surviving thing.
But I think you may be right, because why was religion created in the first place? Why do we need police forces and military and all of that? Because we have to keep people in line. If we were all inherently good creatures and just wanted to do good, we probably wouldn't have a need for any of that.
Right.
And but God, you know, the stories about God being a vengeful God and going to strike you down if you do this and that.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of that was, you know, depending on your belief, was created to keep people in line. Police forces created because you needed to keep people in line, laws, things like that. We don't keep ourselves in line.
We don't do a good job of it. Look at how everyone kind of maintains their life. We know what are the good things to do, and what do people do in the dark or when someone's not looking, or and everyone thinks they're a good person, and you ask them about the bad things they do, and you'll hear all kinds of explanations and rationalizations. Basically I'm a good person.
Right.
Except all the stuff that indicates I'm not. If you omit that evidence, then yeah, you'll see I'm a good person.
Right.
I mean, you got to strike a lot of things from the record.
I've always thought we are inherently good. And if I am starting to lose some faith in that, but I have to keep believing that. Otherwise, you're just inviting, if you give in to thinking, well, no, we're really not. That to me just takes something right out of my soul.
Yeah. And I'm with you on that. I'm a proponent of useful beliefs.
Yeah.
Like that. And I'm kind of have your position.
Yeah.
I don't think that it's true that we're basically good, but I prefer to look at the world that way because it gives me makes me feel a little bit better.
You can't take all the hope out, you know, it's just kind of like, hey, we're about to talk about 655. I still have some hope that someday the Cowboys will at least go to an NFC championship game.
I don't know about that.
I remember my mom did this once. My mom, who was a fallible creature, but it had an impact on me. She got home from the grocery store. Someone told me this recently. They also witnessed this. Went to the grocery store, came back home, looked on her receipt, noticed that she hadn't been charged for something, and went back up there.
Wow.
And I was like, oh, I don't know that I'm that way. But
but
now every time that happens to me, what happens is I think of that example of her doing that. And that helps me on the be a little bit more honest and a little bit more forthright. And it's one of the little things in the soup of things that try to encourage me to be a better person.
Yeah.
But yeah, like how many of us would really do that? I don't know.
Very few.
I would easily say, well, I've been overpaying at that store for the last 5 years.
Which is what people do. We always can come up with some kind of retroactive story to where this is okay.
Plus, I'm not going to drive 5 miles over there.
I mean, it was their job to check out right and make sure I had it paid for everything.
You know what I think, since we're out of time, and this is such a great topic, it deserves an hour. What if it's next week's topic on the Musers, the podcast?
Okay.
Boom.
Because I think there's so much here.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
We have only scratched the surface. Are we inherently good or bad?
Mm-hmm.
What a great topic.
Yeah.